In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, we hear a lot about saints and the struggles they went through, and that their faith is what got them through these struggles, even unto death. I have a very practical question for you today, however. What is the biggest obstacle to your faith? Because it's probably not persecution, at least not in this country, not at the moment. So what is your biggest obstacle to faith? One word.
Temptation.
That's close, but we'll call it sin. How's that? Sin. Sin is our biggest obstacle, but this presupposes that we know what sin is. For what is sin? Because in some traditions, sin is legalistic. We'll go with that word. Meaning it's right or wrong. We do something right, it's not sin. We do something wrong, and it's sin. Another question for you. Who determines what's right and what's wrong? God. God determines what's right and what's wrong. But how do you know what God's will is? How do you know what he has prescribed? Oh, it's in the Bible. You read the Bible, you will figure out what is right and what is wrong. We all know that that just raises more questions than it answers. So how do we determine this? Maybe we have to look at sin a different way. Because in the Greek, sin is not about right or wrong. It is not merely legalistic. It is about missing the mark, missing that for what we should be doing. So what is this mark? If it's not right or wrong, if it's not relativistic, it can't be a moving target. So what is this mark? This mark is very simple, but it's hard to keep in our mind, in our focus. This mark is Christ himself. If you want to know whether you've sinned or not, whether you've fallen short or not, whether you've missed the mark or not, all you need do is ask yourself whether this is what Christ would have us do. Are we following his commands? Are we following what he does? Are we taking that very image of God, Christ, and holding it in our hearts and trying to reflect that image? The problem is we struggle to do that because of sin, because of temptation. Things draw us off the focus. They draw us off looking for the mark. In the prayer of Saint Ephrem, that we are reciting, should be daily, during Lent. The first part of that prayer, take from me the spirit of sloth, despair, lust of power, and idle talk. These are the passions, and from Saint Ephrem's point of view, the four primary passions that lead us into sin, that lead us into debt, and lead us into temptation. And that first one, sloth, idleness, is a biggie, because according to Saint Ephrem, this is the foundation for all other passions. This is what leads us into sin, sloth. And I don't mean the big furry creature that everybody loves nowadays on the internet. Sloth, idleness. How many of you have heard the adage, still hands make for the devil's work? The idea that sloth, idleness, leads us into temptation and leads us into sin. Now, you could look at it a couple of different ways. You could say, oh, sloth, it's a spiritual malady, meaning we are idle spiritually. We are idle because we don't put our minds and our souls to use. We don't pray, we don't give alms, we don't come to church because we're slothful. Also, lazy. But it is also a very physical malady. The Psalms refer to it as the noonday demon. How many of you, after you've had lunch and have to go back to work, sit there and go, every day? Yep, the noonday demon. This is the idea of sloth that we have to overcome. This idea that simply not pushing ourselves forward, not embracing the opportunities, whether physically or spiritually, not overcoming what it is we need to do that leads us not only into temptation, but also further passions, lust of power, idle talk. You got to fill that void with something. So what do? You start fantasizing about what it is that you would rather be doing. Sloth. So I ask you, brothers and sisters, when you think about sin, this is not simply a matter of right or wrong. This is a matter of how we fall short in the life of Christ. How do we fall short? How do we miss what it is that Christ wants us to do? And you can say, well, there are times when Christ didn't do anything. If he wasn't doing anything physically, he was praying. And this is how you overcome sloth. Christ tells his disciples, my Father is working, and I am working. He is always working, and he expects us to work as well. And during this time of Lent, this is the opportunity to refocus ourselves, to look at our lives, identify where we are slothful, because this is the hardest one to detect in ourselves. Lust of power, idle talk, and vainglory. I think we can recognize those in ourselves. If we can't, we need to talk. But sloth, when are you feeling slothful? Morning, getting up, just before the cup of coffee. I don't know, I'm awfully slothful then. There are ways of overcoming it. And slothfulness is a personal passion for us. And it may seem strange to call it a passion, but don't confuse it with lust of power or lust in general. By passion, it just means not a virtue, not something that we want to continue in our lives. So what is the opposite of sloth? If for every passion there is an accompanying virtue, what is the opposite of sloth? If you don't know, I'm not telling you, because it's something you need to discover for yourself. If I just give you all the answers, how are you ever going to break out of your slothfulness? So I challenge you, particularly when it's time to come to confession, ask yourself, have you been slothful? Ask yourself, how have you struggled to overcome slothfulness? Ask yourself, what is that virtue that you need to focus on that overcomes slothfulness? So why focus on sloth as the passion that we need to overcome this Sunday? Because it is the biggest obstacle to a growing faith. How can your faith grow and develop if you're just being lazy about how you approach it? Think about this, brothers and sisters. It is sloth that I challenge you to overcome. It is sloth that Christ challenges you to overcome. It is sloth that the church challenges you to overcome. And there are many ways of doing it, but only you can put it into practice. Always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory.